The ideal would be that the alim teaches without accepting any salary, without accepting any remuneration, without accepting any reward in return for what khidmat of deen he does. That was the ideal. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that's what they did. La as'alukum alayhi ajra, in ajriya illa ala Allahi ta'ala. So their ajr they always sought from Allah ta'ala. They dedicated themselves for the service of deen. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then put into hearts of people to take care of their needs. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the sahaba kiram, the tabi'in, either they did their own business, they did their own farming, they did their own gathering of dates and selling and supplying or whatever it may be. And with that income, they did service of the deen free of charge. There was no accepting of any kind of payment. That I will teach 3 hours, 5 hours, 2 hours, and you must pay me so much for that. But then, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he's got his own system. So those days there was the Baitul Mal. So later on from the Baitul Mal the people used to get a kind of living wage, we will term it in today's time. That they were given a certain amount of food or clothing or provision for shelter, etc. From the Baitul Mal, the necessities were taken care of. Then later, when the Fuqaha saw that now people are all going away into business, and this deen of Allah Ta'ala, if everybody is going to go and open up a business, then who's going to teach? And the Maulvi or the Alim who is teaching, he also has got some intelligence. He can also run one business. He can also get occupied in some profession. But then if everybody is going to do that, then the teaching of the Qur'an Sharif, learning of the Qur'an Sharif, Dars, Tadris, all will finish up. So then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, and they gave the fatwa that you can accept, but it will not be for the teaching of the Qur'an Sharif. The Qur'an Sharif itself, you can't put any price on it. One word of the Qur'an Sharif, you can't say that the value of that is so much. So it is the time factor, that the person has given his time, he's dedicated his 3 hours, 6 hours, half a day, 1 day, full day to the teaching. And as a result, he now cannot go into the marketplace and earn his livelihood. So he accepts a salary for that. But where there is no need for that, then it will not be jais. For example, if you just cannot find any hafiz to make tarawih of the Qur'an Sharif, Quran Sharif. You got a lot of hafizes that can, I mean those who have done one para, six paras, 10 paras, all these just can read from Alam Tara. So you don't have hafiz of the Quran Sharif that can perform the full 20 rakats reading the Quran Sharif, completing the Quran Sharif. Then you get some hafiz pitching up from somewhere and say, I will perform the Taraweeh and I am a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, I'll read the whole Quran Sharif, but then you must pay me so much for the Taraweeh. So it will not be jais, it will not be permissible. Why? Because there's no need for it. You can read Alam Tara. If there's no hafiz available, read Alam Tara. But to pay him and appoint him for the Taraweeh is not permissible. But when it comes to imamat, you need an imam. So there again is a time factor, that for that reason they have said it's permissible. But again, the ideal is that the person teaches for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will then put it into the hearts of the people to take care of his needs. He won't have to beg. But he must have that yaqeen, that in Allah Ta'ala. But if he is saying, I'm doing it for Allah Ta'ala's sake, but then he's waiting for everybody to come and give him something, and nobody is bringing anything, then he takes off with them, that I'm doing deen khidmat, you're not taking care of my needs. So that shows, then he rather take wages and teach, so that at least his mind is settled. He knows end of the month he'll get his packet. So deen was never made a means of livelihood. Deen was never for means of livelihood. Deen ko kabhi bhi zariya maash nahi banana chahiye. Zariya maash ke liye dukaan hai, tijarat hai, khet hai, baghat hai, jangalat hai, jao kuch karo. Deen was not for livelihood, that you use deen for livelihood. Unfortunately, these days, most of us use our deen for livelihood. That we go bargaining, who can give me better salary so that I can do some job for him. I'm getting a reasonable wage where I am. It's not that I'm starving. At the most, I may not be able to afford a car or afford some luxury. But I am eating, drinking, reasonably accommodated. But somebody comes from the outside, another town, and says, Maulana, how much you are getting? I say, I'm getting so much. Come with me, I'll give you double that wage. What are you staying here? Now here he was doing more khidmat of deen. More people were benefiting from his knowledge. More people were learning. More people were coming towards Allah Ta'ala. But now for those few extra dollars or rands, he leaves that place and goes away. So that shows there's no ikhlas. If he had ikhlas, then he would say, no way I am. More people are benefiting. So I will remain here. Never mind. Salary is not like what you are offering. But Allah Ta'ala's fazal that is taking care that I'm eating, drinking. Nothing wrong with it. Then Allah Ta'ala will change the condition. Halat will change. Now this is something, whenever I say it, I fear that it must not become a brag. It must not become pride. Or it must not become a kind of a showpiece. But then if somebody can benefit and somebody can learn, then why not? May Allah Ta'ala give me ikhlas when I say it. That for four and a half years, wherever I was teaching, I won't mention the place, those days, the salary was 90 rands. Now those days 90 rands might have been 900 rand today. But at that time when I was getting 90 rands, and my purpose of going in that whole area was because there was no Maulvi in that whole area. Number of towns in that line had no alim at all. And there was a lot of jahalat. So there was this desire to do some khidmat of deen. So when I was getting 90 rand, at that time people came from Johannesburg, they heard my bayan or something, and they said, Maulana, we offer you 750 rand with house, light, water and everything else. And here from the 90 rand I was paying 10 rand towards light, water and other things. So I was left with 80 rands. My wife, Allah Ta'ala must bless her, she used to sit whole night and sew dresses just to make ends meet. And then during the day, I teach, I go here, there, whatever khidmat we can do. I used to carry my little baby and stand on the national highway for a lift to Durban. Cold winter morning, that place was freezing cold. At 6 o'clock morning, we go on to the national highway, thump for lift. But we never extended our hands, never begged, and didn't leave that place because people offered better wages. Because there was more khidmat to be done where I was. It was only afterwards because the late Maulana Ansari kept telephoning me and saying, now, how long are you going to stay there? We need you in Durban. Then I came, but four and a half years, I never had a car. And these days when the Maulvi takes on a job, the first thing he says, I must be able to afford a car, I must have this, I must have that, I must have a good home, I must have... So now that shows that there is a lack of ikhlas. But look at the tables, Allah Ta'ala turns it. Alhamdulillah, today Allah Ta'ala has given me so much that I am distributing with my hands, with Allah Ta'ala's fazal, so many people. Allah Ta'ala is making me give from my earnings, for the hadiyas that Allah Ta'ala gives, it says. But for a number of years, it was like that, for a long, long time. Then I went to Rascott, then I came to Durban also in the early days. Then after about four and a half or five years, then I bought Hitler's spook, the beetle. You know Hitler's spook, the beetle. So your question, that can he accept a salary? Yes, he can. But his niyat must not be the salary. His objective must not be the salary. He must say, I will teach, whether I get salary or I don't get, whether I starve or I eat. My niyat is to serve the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Then you accept the salary too, and if Allah Ta'ala sends with respect, then you accept. The hadiyah also you must only accept if it's coming with respect. That person must consider that hadiyah which you accepting from him as a favor that you are doing to him to accept his hadiyah. Then that person's hadiyah is jais. But if that person thinks that he's doing us a very great favor, he has given some kind of hadiya, and then he will go broadcasting in town, "I gave that Maulana Sahab so much hadiya." So then that person's hadiya you mustn't take, even if it is $1 million. Or if that person's hadiya you have doubts in his earnings, and you are certain, one is just a mild doubt, but if you are certain that this person is earning through haram sources, or he is not giving it as a hadiya, it's a bribe, that 1 minute he's giving you hadiya, and the next minute he brings one fatwa. He says, "Well, now what's the fatwa on this? Now because you accepted his hadiya, so now you are tied in chains with those notes. You can't give the right fatwa." So then that is not hadiya. And also if that person is giving it for isal sawab and all that, then you say, "No, but then give it to some poor and needy people." Hadiya is for muhabbat. "I've got love for you, you give me something, I give you something." That's hadiya. Then you see Allah Ta'ala will give respect. Allah Ta'ala will put the muhabbat into the hearts of the people. At present the muhabbat is not in the heart of the people. We are chasing for that, but we're not getting it. But if you're going to do it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, Allah Ta'ala will then put that muhabbat into those hearts. Allah Ta'ala will give deen also and he'll give dunya also. When we were leaving Deoband, my Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Alayh, so I asked him for some nasihat, some advice. So this is the advice he gave. He said that keep Allah in front of you and keep dunya behind you. Allah Ta'ala will give you both deen too and dunya too. You'll get Allah too and you'll get dunya too. So the four and a half, five, six, 10, 15 years went by, we're thinking that he said you'll get both, but here we don't seem to be getting both. But alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave so much, so much. And even those days, we never starved. We didn't have any kind of shortage of anything. Allah Ta'ala never caused us to extend our hands to beg or anything. Allah Ta'ala fulfilled. What was there? I mean, nobody is going to chase you out of your house if you have old furniture there. We had a fridge there, which we bought for about 10 rand in some auction, with a broken handle, the freezer compartment not working. But nobody chased me out of my house using that fridge and freezer. Today, alhamdulillah, I have a very nice one. So whilst you are students, this is what you must keep in mind. That when you are qualifying now, so your intention must be to serve the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Come what may. And especially in those areas where you are most required. Even though the salary may be much less than the other places. But then that is ikhlas. Then you can take that salary too. Answers your question. What else? Anything else? Feel free to find out, no problem. Student must ask. In Suluk they say, you mustn't ask the peer sahab too much question. Why this, why that? But as a student, you must ask. But I repeat that what Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah Alayhi or someone announced in the Haram Sharif once. He had a halqa like this. He said, "Anybody wants to ask any questions, ask. Any question, I will give you a reply." So one person got up and said, "Shaykh, when Hazrat Adam Alayhi Salatu Wasalam performed his 12th Hajj, what was the name of the Baba who shaved his head?" "No, we're finished now, I can't answer those questions. Where are you going to know the name of the Baba that shaved Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's head?" So nobody can know everything. So hajamat bana di usne. MashaAllah, I'm very happy Dawood came here. Make dua, Dawood's mother, father also accept Islam. been through a lot, make dua, his concern is that his mother, father must also come into deen. They are in Paris, Allah Ta'ala must give them also hidayat, bring them into deen. And his whole family must become a means of hidayat for thousands of people, inshallah. And those individuals who wanted to ask certain things privately, I'm a bit tired today, but inshallah you are still here for the next couple of days. So in the mornings, in the afternoon, somewhere along the line, we'll fit you in. Your personal matters, we can discuss it, inshallah. In general questions you can ask. May Allah Ta'ala bless all of you with the best of dunya, akhirat, ilm and nafi, ikhlas, amal. Allah Ta'ala must give with ikhlas. And it will come, inshallah. It just needs a little bit of effort, but there's no such thing as it's just impossible to have ikhlas. If that was the case, Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have made ikhlas first. To have ikhlas is where you don't do anything for showing somebody. Don't have riyah. Do it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And look at the fuqaha, what they have said, the jurists, that if a person has no intention of showing anybody, there's no show business involved. He just did it. He doesn't even have that niyat, is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And he doesn't have any other niyat too. Then that is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So look at it. The person read one tasbih, subhanallah, 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 one tasbih read. At that time he had no niyat that I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And he had no niyat also that I want to show Musa bhai, Isa bhai, Yunus bhai who's sitting around here. Nothing. He's just reading subhanallah, subhanallah. So that is also written in that credit balance, ikhlas. How easy. Allah Ta'ala made deen easy for us. I'd have a rest now today, is Jumu'ah. Yeah.
You mentioned that the
100 stages. So whatever.
Now, I just think that most of the time, there is something that says there are 8 doors at the Jannah. So, which level will make it easier?
Doors can be the same, you can have different. You can have a lift after you enter the door, then you press the button, you're in 150th floor within seconds. It doesn't have to be 150 doors to go to the 150 floors. And at present we have so many different lifts. Press button and you are there. Aat darwaze hai. Just darwaze se dakhil ho gaya, uske baad button dabaya, Allah Ta'ala ne farishton ne utha kar pahuncha diya, khatam. Aur Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala will be called from all 8 doors. Some people will be called from 2 doors, some from 3 doors, come through me with azaz, ikram. Whichever sifat was ghalib in him, that door will call him. Inshallah. You must ask Allah Ta'ala for Jannatul Firdaus. A nice misal has been given. That a person likes to invite friends. He says, my friends must come. Now his home is small, then he's got to first see the size of his lounge before he extends the invitation. If my lounge can accommodate 10 people and I invite 100 people, then there'll be chaos there. Then they won't be able to sit comfortably and have the meals. But it's my desire now that I want to invite all of you all, and all the musallis of this masjid and of this town. Now where am I going to invite them? We don't even have a hall that will accommodate everybody. But I want to invite them to my house. Now, how big house can I have? I can't have a house that's big enough to accommodate all my Muslims of Durban or even the Ashaval area. So like that in Jannat, the person sometimes want to invite his friends. And then it will be his desire that I want to invite the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. I want to invite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and his companions. So now your Jannat must be that big to accommodate all of them. So Jannatul Firdaus will accommodate everybody. Sometimes, see, we want to invite Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all his companions. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to give you da'wah. And their preparation is not going to be a problem. What preparation? Walakum fiha ma tashtahi. Whatever you desire, you are going to get there. Just one niyat. So many different kinds of menus and causes must be prepared. Why? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has invited him with all his companions to come. So now first you must be in Jannatul Firdaus to be able to accommodate. And that's why look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as son on us. He said, there are no doubt. You just make your namaz, roza, zakat, you go away into Jannat. But ask for Jannatul Firdaus, which is the highest and the best. Now look at the advantages of being in Jannatul Firdaus. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even if he accepts every ummati's invitation, they in Jannat is not like sunset now finish. Or the sun will rise just now, we've got to make Fajr namaz. Or now is Zuhr time. Or the time is too limited now, we've got to dash off and finish other work. Nothing. That's why there's no sunrise and sunset in Jannat. So nobody will look at his watch, the time is up. So in one day you can invite a person 100,000 times to. And he can eat and eat and eat and nothing. One burp and everything is finished and fragrant smell will come out, musk. What is Jannat? But in spite of all those ni'mat, the greatest ni'mat of Jannat is the sight of Allah. Unke rukh se naqaba jutegi. آج نظروں کی معراج ہوگی ان کے رخ سے نقاب آج اٹھے گی آج نظروں کی معراج ہوگی ایک مدت سے آج اہل غم کو مسکرانے کی مہلت ملے گی So that is the ni'mat. For whom we made namaz now, for whom we are fasting now, for whom we are giving zakat and we are giving sadaqat and for whom are we making zikr and tilawat. That Allah we will see with our naked eyes. But we have to go into Jannat to see. So that niqab, that's covering, will be removed. And now every person will have the sight on Allah Ta'ala. Unke rukh se niqab aaj uthegi. Those hijabs which are covering Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's countenance will be removed. And the person will see with his own eyes. That is the time to smile. That is will be the time when the person will say that it was well worth that little effort that we put into restraining our nafs from haram. What would we have got? Now here we are in Jannat. All the ni'mats of Jannat and the greatest ni'mat of Jannat. Quran Sharif, we listen to the Huffaz, Allah Ta'ala will recite himself, Surah Rahman. When Allah will recite Surah Rahman, Allah Ta'ala must take us all into Jannat. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. May Allah Ta'ala enter us without any reckoning. We mustn't take our hisab kitab. Just as we are sitting here this part of the time, Allah Ta'ala must take us all into Jannat. And we must be able to sit like this. No pain, no problem, no difficulty of any kind. All happy, all smiling, all enjoying the ni'mats. So if you are entered, then don't leave me behind. And inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala tells me to go, and why should we not have hope, then I will tell Allah, what about all my friends? Again, not by way of bragging, but certain things I never said lots of. Years and years went by, I never mentioned lots of things. There was no need to mention. But now that people are coming from different places and all that, there is a need to sometimes say certain things so that they may get some kind of a lesson. Sometimes we have to say about our ibadat, which we were not supposed to reveal to others. Sometimes we have to say about certain other matters. When I was going for the bypass operation, at that time, normally a person now, he knows he's going to go for that bypass, he's going to be given, split open his chest and all that, and you know how many of them. And they went for bypass, they passed by, never came back. So at that time, you know, you are between hope and fear. The one side you want to come back to, one side you're fearing might go away too. But alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. At that time, I was just feeling so relaxed that if I have to depart, then I'll meet my Allah. But because of the family and because of the friends that are around you, certain times you don't say certain things, it will break their heart. Imagine if your daughter, your son, your son-in-law and your grandchildren are standing around there, and then you tell them, no, now I'm going, I won't be coming back. So, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So at that time you express hope, inshallah, I'll come back, I'll be alright. But that fear that grips the person at that time, what's going to happen? Alhamdulillah, I had that kind of this thing. That if we go away, what's the thing? Make plenty of istighfar and tawbah, and then tell him to give the injection, so that if you go, you go. So the last thing on you, this thing is istighfar and tawbah. What can be better than that? That here, that injection that he's giving you at that time, that person is making a lot of tawbah, istighfar and all that. So if he has to leave like that, that is better than leaving when suddenly he's in some other kind of action. But then, everybody's du'as, Allah Ta'ala brought me back and I'm sitting here. So, nothing to fear. The person is going to, so must look forward to that. The khawf must be that we must not displease Allah Ta'ala. Because the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala is worse than the azab of Jahannam. In fact, after a couple of hours when I came back to senses, the doctor of mine tells me that I just came to senses again, I think, about Maghrib time. He's telling me, you know, you made exactly 3 rakats of namaz in that state. I don't even remember that namaz. He says, but we were watching, you made exactly 3 rakats of namaz and then slept with me. And then after a few hours was tahajjud time. So he says, you made tahajjud in this state. I said, this tahajjud must have been the easiest tahajjud of my life. What is so great in this? Koi kamal nahi, there's no kamal in that. Because I didn't have to make wuzu, I didn't have to go anywhere, I didn't have to make any movement as I am. I just have to, and even the hands I couldn't really move because they got you all this thing. But, so as you are, Allahu Akbar, when you read, is a difficult tahajjud. It's not a difficult tahajjud. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala all give us a connection with Him. All these things I'm saying out of pride, Allah Ta'ala make me maaf. Fakhar comes away when you say all this thing. Allah Ta'ala mustn't bring pride into the heart. We fear pride. Well, alhamdulillah, I'm saying it out of shukr of Allah Ta'ala, ihsan of Allah Ta'ala, tahdees and ni'mat. It's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. You mustn't make na-shukri also. It's such a fine line that you mustn't have pride too and you mustn't make na-shukri too. You must make shukr also and you mustn't. And when you're going to make abundant shukr, then my shaykh says that is sabab-e-qurb. kasrat shukr is sabab qurb, and takabbur is sabab bodh, distancing. So qurb and bodh can't be together. It can't be together. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Now go and read Quran Sharif or rest till Asr, because this morning we didn't have much time to rest. We had to clear out. So go and rest, there's nothing wrong. Only don't engage in idle talk, vain chit-chat in the i'tikaf. But if a person is tired, he wants to sleep, then his sleep is also ibadat. In i'tikaf, his sleep is also ibadat. If he is fasting, his sleep is ibadat. And now he's in i'tikaf. So it's double ibadat. While he's sleeping too. Because fasting person's sleep is ibadat. Now this person is fasting too, he's in i'tikaf too. But then, the i'tikaf is not just for sleeping, that you don't get good sleep at home because the wife nags too much. So you say in the masjid we get peaceful sleeps. So it should not be for that. But if a person gets tired, he sleeps, no problem. Lots of people go away to the masjid, they put the fan on, they put the air conditioner on, and they say, we enjoyed the sleep here. So that place is not for enjoying sleep. Irshad, Mauritius, bhai, you alright? MashaAllah. My friend Irshad, he says, in the Darul Uloom Zakaria, he is there. He says, Maulana, every night I see you in my dream. MashaAllah. Alright, have a rest. If you need anything, don't hesitate. We got our friends here. They'll tell them, they'll bring it for you.
Only one thing you have to do. One, you don't beg for money or anything. One begging I do, you make dua for me. For that I ask you, all of you. That begging is jayid. Please, my brother, make dua for me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going to Umrah. Nabi alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Umayya, la tansana fi dua. Oh my brother, don't forget me in dua. Nabi alayhi wa sallam is saying, don't forget me in dua. We need dua. We need it to make dua.